Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Luke, chapter 4. Luke, chapter 4, we'll read verses 14 through 19 together. And we'll read this passage responsively. Luke, chapter 4, verses 14 through 19. Luke chapter 4, verses 14 through 19. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee. There went out a fame of him through all the region round about. And he taught them in their synagogues, being glorified of all. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah, and when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And let's pray. Father, thank you so much for what you've done for us. Oh, a cold, blustery morning outside, but the warmth of the presence of the Holy Spirit here inside this place. Lord, as our preacher has said, 1,000 people are better here on the property today. Such a diverse group, people from all over and many different states and many different backgrounds. But Lord, you're a diverse God. You could meet all of our needs today. Please use our preacher. Use the words that you have given him. Father, please fill him with your power. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
My sermon this morning is primarily to the saved. If you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, if you listen in, I will help you. There's no doubt that you will be helped, but the thing that would help you the most is by getting saved. You need to trust Christ so he can help you to live your life and live it successfully. This morning, I don't know that we'll consider what I'm about to do preaching much. It'll lean a little more toward teaching, but there's so much that we need to learn, and what we need to learn things about life. And it is my privilege and honor as a pastor to help teach about life. And this morning, I'm going to teach you about life. There are far too many frustrated Christians in life. Frustrated. Almost scatterbrain Christians, scatterbrain in life, scatterbrain with their Christianity. I believe this. I believe I sit in the midst of a great people. I believe that most everybody here, that they want to have the right things in their lives. But the problem is we're having a hard time getting those things into our lives. We look at the subjects of success and the basic elements of Christianity. We look at them and we say, I want that. We work at it a little, but then somehow we never get them into our lives as routine. I want to talk to you this morning, and I'm going to tell you the title of my sermon right now. It's called Get a Rhythm. Get a Rhythm. I'm talking about in your life. Please listen. The Bible says in Luke chapter 4, verse number 16, and he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. Here's the story. Jesus enters Nazareth. This is a city where he had grown up as a boy. He went to the synagogue, or for all practical purposes today, he went into that church building that he had attended many, many years ago, and as he attended when he was a child. The Bible says that while he was there, he ends up reading the scripture to the people. The preacher at that time handed Jesus a book. That book would have been the book of Isaiah. Jesus then reads to the people. He reads to them. I'll read you a couple of verses that he read. He read Isaiah 61, 1 and 2. Jesus read to them, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn. Bible says Jesus walked into church. The preacher handed him a Bible. Jesus stood up as they always did. Jesus reads to them some scripture. He closes the book. He hands it back to the preacher and he goes and he sits down. The Bible says that every eye in the place was glued upon him. Oh, and you and I would feel the same way. If the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords walked in the back door of this church this morning and walked in here, I'll tell you what I'd do. I'd be handing the Bible and say, you go right ahead. You go right ahead. And if he handed it back to me, I'd take it. And if he wanted to go sit down, I'd say, you can sit anywhere you want. That this is all about you. This is your place. And that's what happened. The Bible teaches that everybody's eyes were just fastened on him. And we would feel the same way. The people were amazed. And that church, that gathering of people were amazed. Now, there's a lot of special things about this passage of Scripture and this occurrence here in the Bible. There is something that is extra important to me this morning, and I think you'll find it important to you as well. I think, of course, we know that Jesus Christ was successful at all that he did, all the way to the point of being able to resurrect himself from the grave. But I see here we can learn what helped him to be a success. You know, the devil was trying to get Jesus to do wrong. The devil was trying to tempt Jesus to mess up his life. The devil would have loved it if Jesus would have disqualified himself as being the perfect, unblemished, sinless Messiah. You have to understand the devil was trying to mess him up. So Jesus had to constantly be on guard. He had to, on purpose, do what he did. That's how he kept his perfection. That's how he kept himself right with God. He had to keep himself in order, if you will. Now, I notice something in this passage of Scripture that gives us a little insight to how in the world did Jesus accomplish this perfection in his life. This special something had something to do with Jesus' success and his ultimate success. And if you seek success in your Christian life, I think you're going to have to do this special something as well. I find that little special thing that if you pass over it quickly, you don't notice it in the Bible. It so casually finds itself in a verse where unless you zero in on it, you won't even recognize it. But let me show you what it is. In verse number 16 of Luke chapter 4, the Bible says, and he came to Nazareth, speaking of Jesus, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue. As his custom was. Did you hear that? As his custom was. It was the habit of Jesus Christ to go to church. It was an established habit of Jesus Christ to go to church. Jesus, I'm sure, had formed many good habits and many good customs, but this was the city in which Jesus Christ grew up. When he went into town to visit, he knew when church was, and he just showed up. He was there. He knew. He went into town. He knew what time church started. And he said, well, it's time to go to church. It was his custom to be in church. Jesus didn't stand there on the roadside debating, well, will I go to church today or will I not? No, it was his custom to go. He didn't say, well, I'm a visitor in town and therefore I won't go to church today. No, Jesus, it was his custom to be in church. It was his custom. And that custom, I believe, was developed as a child. But it was his custom. Now, you hear a lot of sermons about bad habits. And rightfully so. We need sermons to help us to conquer and to take on the challenge of our bad habits. I would like to talk to you about some good habits today. Because I really believe that everybody in this house, we all need to be working on developing some good habits. Every last one of us, you see, the Bible says, as his custom was, he was on purpose in church. It was a part of his routine. In his life, there was a set plan to go to church. He had a rhythm in his life that included church. You know, you need to get some good routines, some customs, some habits. You need to get a rhythm of good things in your life. You need to routinely schedule the good things in your life and make sure that those things always happen. Again, I believe there are some very sincere Christians under the sound of my voice today that want to do what they ought to do, but they're not succeeding, and I'm going to tell you why. You dabble at the good things. You do them here, and then maybe a little over here, and then you do something good over there, but what we need to do is to get a rhythm in our life where we're always doing those good things in our lives. We've got to get a rhythm of consistency in our Christian life. And anybody studying out there, you see what I'm saying. You're saying, you know what? I've got to get that consistency. I know the things that I ought to be doing, but I've got to get something going in a consistent fashion. We sing the song, Row, Row, Row Your Boat. I like it. Row, row, row your boat gently down the stream. Merrily, 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 life is but a dream. See the rhythm? Row, row, row the boat gently down the stream. Merrily, 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 life is but a dream. This is what some of you need in your life, rhythm. You've got to get that rhythm, the rhythm of your life. You need to get a routine in your life. Row, row, row your boat gently down the stream. Merrily, 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 life is but a dream. But here's how some of your spiritual lives are. Row, row, row your boat gently down the stream. That's how some of you are spiritually. That's how some of you are in your marriages. Row. Row. Hurry up, honey. Row. Row. Here's what you need. Row, row, row your boat gently down the stream. Merrily, 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 life is but a dream. You get a rhythm. And you stick with that rhythm. It's a consistent rhythm. It's a reproduced rhythm. You see, you need to get a rhythm in your life. You need to get, as was His custom, Jesus had a rhythm about church. And that's what the Bible's teaching us there. It was His custom. He had established a routine, and He stuck with that routine. He had established a custom, and He stuck with that custom. He had established a good habit, and He stuck with that good habit. See, folks, we've got to learn to live by some type of a routine. You could call it a schedule. We've got to get our lives scheduled. Why? Because a schedule or a routine produces security. Many of you, you're scatterbrained Christians. You don't have a rhythm. When I say row, row, row your boat gently down the stream, you say, I don't know what you mean by that. You have got to get to the point where you are consistently doing what's got to be done for you to be happy and to succeed. You have sporadic successes with so many different things. You've got to get your life in order. You've got to get a rhythm in your life. There are people here. You've got to understand, a schedule produces security. A schedule produces success. A schedule produces purpose in life. A schedule produces stability. There are people in here that are good people, but you're not stable. You have a desire for good things, but your desire for them, it's not stable. You don't have that routine. You don't have that rhythm in life. That's one reason why. Those of you that live by rhythm, you get you a schedule and you follow that schedule. When you get out of that schedule, it can be very hard on you. It can be very hard. You get a couple weeks off. Most hardworking men that work by a schedule, they take 2 weeks off for vacation. They're ready to go back to work at the end of the 2 weeks. Why? For 2 weeks, it's been kind of weird. It's kind of odd. It's just like, I've got to get back to my routine. I've got to get back to feeling productive. I've got to get back to my rhythm in life. We all need a rhythm in life. You've got to get you a rhythm. And it needs to be a rhythm of good things. It needs to be a rhythm of wholesome things. Do you have a rhythm? You need to get you some rhythm. And I'm not talking about like this. Get you some rhythm in your life. Get that rhythm. Get that consistency. Get that schedule. It will calm your family down. Businessmen, listen to me. I know what I'm talking about. It'll calm your business down. Get your rhythm. Get your rhythm. Get your rhythm. Get your rhythm. Learn that rhythm. You've got to learn rhythm. It'll help you with your marriage. It'll help you with your Christianity. It will help you with your ministry. It will help you with your business. It will help you to succeed. It will provide for you security. It will provide for your family predictability. We've got to get a rhythm. We've got to get that rhythm. We're looking for rhythm. Let me show you some of the areas of life where I would recommend that you get a rhythm. You need to get a rhythm about your church attendance. Hebrews chapter 10, verse number 25 says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but the exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. God is saying there are some that begin forsaking their rhythm, but don't you let that happen to you. Let me warn you, the first time you miss a church service, watch out, you've gotten out of rhythm. We need to form a rhythm about church. Your rhythm ought to work like this. Sunday school. Sunday morning church, Sunday night church, Wednesday night church, Sunday school, Sunday morning church, Sunday night church, Wednesday night church, Sunday school, Sunday morning church, Sunday night church, Wednesday night church. Get your rhythm. Get that rhythm and stay with that rhythm. That's a good rhythm. Just like that. Get the rhythm. Don't miss it. Row, row, row your boat. Get a rhythm. I'll warn you. Sunday school teachers, watch out. Because somebody that's missed one Sunday, they may lose their rhythm. You never miss two Sundays unless you miss one. You never miss three Sundays unless you've missed two. And the devil knows. The devil knows that if you have been bright enough to establish a rhythm, that if the devil can get you out of rhythm, he'll get you out of church. Sunday school, Sunday morning church, Sunday night church, Wednesday night church. Get that rhythm. Get it. Let church attendance become a habit. I don't know about you, but I'll tell you something. I would never debate not coming to church, ever. I would not. I never say to myself, will we go, will we not go? Ever. My family, my children have never heard us all sit around and say, are we going tonight? Ever. My family... I am 47 years old. We've been married for almost 27 years old. My wife will tell you, we got a rhythm. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. That's before I was a preacher. That's back when I worked 60 and 70 hours of work as a machinist. We always had the rhythm. No excuse. We had the rhythm. We stayed in the rhythm. Keep the rhythm. Get the rhythm. You got to have rhythm. Get rhythm. And what? Church attendance. Have you established a rhythm in your church attendance? Don't debate it, just do it. Make church attendance in your heart, in your mind, and in your family mandatory. It is my schedule. It is my routine. It is my habit. It is my custom. That's what Jesus did. You want to know how Jesus succeeded? As was His custom. He said, it's right to do. I will therefore do it. And Jesus got a rhythm. And the Bible says He had a rhythm. It was His custom. Let me give you something else. Get a rhythm in your Bible reading. Get a rhythm. Row, row, row your boat gently down the stream. I believe that you believe the Bible is the Word of God. I believe that you believe the Bible has the answer. I believe that you believe that the Bible can help you. I believe that you believe that the Bible is God's book. But I also believe that you don't have a rhythm. And because you don't have a rhythm, you read some here and then maybe not for a while, and read some there, and maybe not for a while, get a rhythm. The Bible says in Romans 10:17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And we are to live by faith. Decide to read your Bible daily. Then make it a part of your daily routine. Make it a custom. Make it a habit. Make it a part of your schedule. Get that rhythm. I don't know what your rhythm will be. Maybe it's wake up, get up, coffee, Bible. That's fine. Wake up. get up. Coffee, Bible. Wake up, get up. Coffee, Bible. Wake up, get up. Coffee, Bible. Every day. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Get a rhythm. Get a rhythm. You say, well, this isn't real deep theology. It's far deeper than what you think. Consistency in the Christian life may be the weakest element among the Christians of our day. Little here, little there, we get involved, little here, little there. Oh, what God is looking for is that we find out what's right to do and then we do it when it's right to do. Make it a part of your daily routine. Pick a time to read your Bible. Pick a place to read your Bible. And then get you a routine. There are a bunch of you. You have routines to read. There are all sorts of people here. You're fit to be tied if you don't get to read your newspaper. Where's the paper? You go out and get the paper. You have a routine when you go get the mail. I'm going to go get the mail. Where's my paper? I'm going to watch the news. I can't go to bed tonight unless I hear the news. I'm not going to go to work this morning unless I hear the news. See, you are people of routine. What's most important to you? Make the Word of God worthy of routine. Make it worthy of your schedule. Make the Word of God your custom. What has happened in America to boys and girls waking up in the morning knowing that dad or mom has sat at the kitchen table reading their Bibles? What's happened in America to parents showing a routine of walking with God to their children? Get a rhythm. Read your Bible. 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 Get a rhythm. Get a rhythm about church. Sunday school. Sunday morning church. Sunday night church. Wednesday night church. Get a rhythm about reading your Bible. Just wake up. You get up. Get your coffee. Get your Bible. You wake up. You get up. You get your coffee. You get your Bible. Get a rhythm. Get a rhythm. Number three, get a rhythm with your prayer life. Acts chapter 3, verse number 1, the Bible says, "Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer." You know what? There was a designated place and time for these prayers to take place. And Peter and John said, "It's our custom to go over there and pray right now. It's our custom. It's our routine. It's our schedule." Listen again. I am talking to some very sincere Christians. I'm telling you, what a good group of people we have here at our church. Can I show you how you can stabilize your life? Please allow me to take you to a new level of Christianity. A stable level. A secure level. A predictable level. A non-depressed level. How? I've got to get a routine. I've got to get rhythm in my life. In my prayer life, I need to row, row, row your boat gently down the stream. I believe you want to pray. I believe you want to read your Bible. I believe you know you ought to be in church. Get a rhythm. That's what it takes. This is the answer. Get your rhythm. Get your rhythm. Figure out where it goes and just be where you're supposed to be, when you're supposed to be there. It was the hour of prayer. It was a planned time. Get a rhythm. Get a time. Get a place. Get a system. I would recommend that you get some rhythm in your prayers. And again, I'm not talking about beatnik rhythm now. I'm talking about get a rhythm. If you're going to start out and you're going to confess your sin, fine. Start out that way. If you're then going to go to being thankful to God for a little while and then you're going to take your request to Him, okay, so be it. Get a rhythm. Many of you that do pray, you struggle. I'll tell you why. Because you're a little bit scatterbrained when you pray. Get you a rhythm. Get a rhythm within your prayer life. But most of you just need to get a rhythm for your prayer life. The reason that you're inconsistent is you've not put it into place and stuck with your rhythm. Get your rhythm. Get your rhythm. Get your rhythm. I think there are all sorts of men here today that ought to put into the rhythm of your life the men's prayer meeting on Saturday mornings. It'd be good for you. Just get in the rhythm of coming and starting your weekend with a bunch of other godly men and take a time for prayer. Get a prayer time. Make prayer your custom. Make prayer your habit. Make prayer your routine. Get a rhythm. Get that rhythm. Get the rhythm. And you will find yourself succeeding at prayer. and you will find yourself succeeding with your Bible, and you will find yourself succeeding with your church attendance. You say, that's when churches, the church doors are open. I'll be there. I've got my rhythm. I'll read my Bible. I've got my rhythm. I'll pray. I've got my rhythm. Let me help you. Get you a rhythm in regard to your soul winning. Mark 16:15 says, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. We're supposed to tell others about Jesus Christ. Get you a schedule. Get a rhythm about your witnessing. Get a rhythm about soul winning. I think you need to pick a time. I think you need to pick a day. I'll tell you what you do. If you say, well, if the opportunity comes my way, and so many times the opportunity does not come our way, most every person needs to have a time when they're going to go witness. Now, I'm for us witnessing all the time anywhere, but most people say, well, I'll leave it to all the time anywhere. Let me ask you, how you doing? How are you really doing? The truth. Get a rhythm. You see, there are people that have areas of responsibility in our church, special music, choir, nurseries, bus ministry, King's Kids, whatever. They promised me they would witness on a regular basis. Now, I don't make people show up at the Thursday night meeting for soul winning. I don't make them show up for the Saturday soul winning meeting or the ladies' Tuesday soul winning. I don't make them show up for that. So I'm hoping that your integrity is intact, but some of you, what you need to do is you need to stop and realize your integrity is flawed. You're not doing it. You say, well, Brother Owens, why am I not doing that? I'll tell you why, because you don't have a rhythm. Many of you need to look yourself right square in the eye and say, you know, I promised I'd be going soul winning on a regular basis, and I'm not going soul winning on a regular basis, and for some reason, I'm not making myself go do it like I'm supposed to. Maybe I ought to make myself show up at the meeting and get a rhythm and force myself into that schedule. I'm only telling you that for your own good. I mean, if you promise a preacher you're going to do something and then you don't go do it, what's the problem? Is it a matter of that you don't care about souls? No. The problem is, it is not in a rhythm in your life, so you're not requiring it of yourself, and you're failing at something that you're supposed to succeed at. Get a rhythm. Get a rhythm. What? Make soul winning your custom. Make it your habit. Make it your routine. There's a reason why your boss doesn't let you come into work whenever you want and leave whenever you want. He might be a little fearful that it might not all work out and your character might not carry you. So he said, let's get a rhythm. Let's establish a rhythm. You need to get a rhythm in your church attendance. You need to get a rhythm in your Bible reading. You need to get a rhythm in your prayer life. You need to get a rhythm in your soul winning. Let me give you another area. Get a rhythm about work. Get a rhythm about work. Christians ought to be the hardest working people on the face of this earth. We should be hard workers. Listen to me now. You need to be on time to work. Your employer didn't give me any money to say this. Man, that's a good idea. I could make some money around here. You ought to be on time to work. You shouldn't be walking in late. Be on time. How am I going to do that? Get a rhythm. You got to get up in the morning at a certain time. You got to leave the house at a certain time to be at work at a certain time. And if you don't get that rhythm, you're going to have a bad reputation at work. You're going to hurt your own personal testimony. You hurt the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is your Father and Savior. You can hurt the testimony of your church. Look, it ought to be that other people from our church could go to the place where you're employed and get a job because of your testimony. It ought to be that they could walk in and say, well, I'm from so-and-so's church, and we're a lot alike. And them say, well, I'd hire you because I know how hard a worker he is or she is. It ought to be that way. They shouldn't say, well, oh, so-and-so's late all the time. Get you a rhythm. Get a rhythm. Get a rhythm. Get a rhythm. You leave at a specific time so that you're there by a specific time, which is not late. It's not 1 minute after time to go to work or 2 minutes after. It's in time to get there and do your job right. You know, everybody here ought to want a perfect attendance at work. You know, in our schools, we used to make a real big deal if kids had a perfect attendance. Some of you old timers, somebody here say amen. Truth is, our new generation, we don't really care much about anything. We wouldn't really want anyone to emphasize going the extra mile at anything, do we? We're so anemic in our personal character today. We use all of the grace periods and everything. We'll max out every day off and max out everything we can get out of everybody. What happened to the old-fashioned integrity of, I was said I was going to be there, I'll be there, I'll be on time. We want to know why America's in a mess. Who is in the White House won't fix America. It's who's in your house that'll fix America. This country needs the Christians to get back to just some old-fashioned integrity and hard work. Hey, same thing with coming to school or going to school. Whether you go to the public school and your parents take you, you come to the Christian school. Same people are always late, I guess. That'd be my guess. I know people well enough. I have no idea who's late to the Christian school. It's probably the same people over and over and over again. Why? No rhythm. You get a rhythm at home. Young people getting ready for school, get a rhythm in the morning. Getting ready for work, get a rhythm in the morning. Get a rhythm. You ought to be predictable by everybody in your house. Predictable. You get up the same time. You do what needs to be done. You're not late. You're where you're supposed to be, when you're supposed to be there. Our homes are frantic today. Why? No rhythm. Churches are a mess. Why? No rhythm. You'll find I'm a very predictable pastor. Rhythm is followable. You can follow a rhythm. Sporadic, emotional, outbursts, lack of organization, lack of character, lack of custom, destroys people. That's everybody like this. All the time. Get a rhythm. Row, row, row your boat gently down the stream. Get a rhythm. Get a rhythm. Those of you that are self-employed, and we've got a lot of people in here that are self-employed, you run your own businesses. Let me tell you what will make you or break you. You get you a rhythm of productivity, and you stick with it. When you have to be your own boss, you better get a schedule and let your boss dictate, your schedule dictate what you do. Quit flying off the seat of your britches. Get you a rhythm. Some people can't handle running their own business because they'll get so far out of balance. All they'll do is work, and they'll let their wife and their kids go to hell. They'll ruin their family. Why? No rhythm. Just frantically making money as fast as I can. The poor wife, she hadn't gone out with you in months, and the kids never get to see dad. What are you talking about, Brother Owens? Row, row, row your boat gently down the stream. Get a rhythm. Get a rhythm. Get a rhythm, self-employed person. It can be an intense rhythm. Nothing wrong with that. Get a rhythm. Better schedule that work. Better get it written down. Better figure out what needs to be done. Better figure out when it needs to be done. You better do it when it needs to be done. Rhythm. 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 As was his custom. Let me go on. Number 6. Get a rhythm about your finances. Get a rhythm. Some of you need to learn that, according to the Bible, we tithe, then we care for our needs, then we care for our wants. Tithe, needs, wants. Tithe, needs, wants. Get a rhythm. Tithe, needs, wants. Tithe, needs, wants. Ooh. Tithe, needs, wants. Ah! Tithe, needs, wants. You got it? You say, oh, that's so cute. You can't do it. Notice the word need starts with an N, like nut. Wants starts with a W. They're different. Some of you don't understand the difference between needs and wants. I help a lot of people with their finances. They've not quite figured out what needs and wants, how they differ. Tithe, needs, wants. Tithe, needs, wants. Get a rhythm. The people that are most successful with their finances are people that get in the proper rhythm with their finances. Get this rhythm. Earn, spend. Earn, spend. Earn, spend. You say, well, mine's different. I know. Spend, earn. And you're always behind the eight ball. Pretty simple rhythm, isn't it? You musically decline, folks. Just two parts. Earn, spend. Earn, spend. When he says, we don't have the money, then it stops right there. We don't have the money. If you don't have the money, don't spend the money. You said, but the bank has money. Uh-huh. They do. They have some they'll give you. Sooner or later, they're going to say to you, earn, spend. The bank's going to come to you and say, needs, wants, we need your money. Sooner or later, get a rhythm. When do you pay your bills? Get a rhythm. Get a rhythm about paying your bills. You ought to know what bills have to come out of the first paycheck and what bills have to be paid out of the second paycheck. If you get paid weekly, what bills come out of the third paycheck and what bills have to come out of the fourth paycheck and how much of that money has to be set aside so you can pay your auto insurance in 6 months. Get a rhythm. You say, oh, that sounds difficult. It's not near as difficult as all the frantic chaos that's going on in your life and mine. Get a rhythm. Hey, it's not hard once you get a rhythm. First time you heard the song, row, row, row your boat gently down the stream. You might have said, I've never heard that song. I don't know if I can sing it. Everybody in this place can sing the song. It's not as hard as what you think. Everybody here can sing, row, row, row your boat gently down the stream. Merrily, 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 life is but a dream. Get a rhythm. Get a rhythm. Get a rhythm. Know when the bills are due. Pay them when they're due. Know when they're due. Pay them when they're due. Know what check it takes to pay those bills. All I'm doing is telling you, everybody here wants to pay your bills on time. And if you don't, you're a crook. Everybody here, I think you want to pay your bills on time. I think you want to have a good reputation financially. You say, well, brother, and most of you make enough money to pay your bills on time. If you could separate needs and wants and you'd get a rhythm. Get a rhythm about your finances. Somebody here needs to get a rhythm about your savings for your future. Some of you here would finally take a vacation this next August if you'd get a rhythm about putting a little money away every paycheck to get ready for that vacation instead of every year saying to the family again, we don't have any money again. We don't have any money again. We don't have any money again. Well, you get a savings rhythm for vacation. Some of you need to get a rhythm in balancing your checkbook, and you need to get a rhythm in figuring your bills. The bank has a rhythm. I think they send you statement with a rhythm. The phone company has a rhythm, don't they? You get your bill. You can virtually tell what day you'll get your bill. The mortgage company requires a rhythm, don't they? You say, well, I don't like this rhythm thing. Tell the mortgage company you don't like the rhythm thing. They'll take your house away from you. Well, I'm not going to live my life that way. Then tell the people that loaned you the money to buy your car, and your car payment's not going to be made when it's supposed to be made. You'll lose your car. That's why, and this is why some of you are losing your money, and you're losing your families, and you're losing your Christianity. Why? No rhythm. You all out there, you awake. Yeah, everybody understand what I'm saying? And it doesn't matter to me if you're a genius in the house or you're as dumb as I am. You have to be sitting there saying, man, this is it. This is it. This is what it takes. We figure out what's right to do. We ensure it where it's right to do it. And then we get a rhythm and we do it. We do it over and 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 over again. And just so you know, for the rest of your life, you're to pay your bills on time by rhythm. This is mundane. It's boring. This is what life is. We are responsible to do certain things that will help us to succeed. Because I'm sure you want to succeed. But the reason why some of you are not succeeding, you can't get a rhythm. You can't get a rhythm. Get a rhythm about your church attendance. Get a rhythm about your Bible reading. Get a rhythm in your prayer life. Get a rhythm in your soul winning. Get a rhythm about your work. Get a rhythm about your finances. I was a machinist for years. I ran lathes, mills. I ran them back before they became computer controlled and data numerical controlled. I ran lathes and mills back to when you would crank them with a handle. But boy, I had a good time. Brother Summers, I loved it. I was a high producer in the machine shop. I mean, I love, if you ever offered me bonuses for part work, I was going to the bank, baby. I'll tell you why. When I ran those machines, I got me a rhythm. I knew to flip, twist, pull, flip, twist, pull, flip, twist, pull, turn on the coolant. Flip, twist, pull, turn on the coolant. I doom, doom, da doom. I got me a rhythm. Any of you ever bale hay? Best way to bale hay, you got to get you a rhythm. You got to bale hay with a rhythm. Know how to split wood? If you can get a rhythm, you can cut a lot of wood. You ever shovel snow? You folks from Georgia, that's white stuff that comes down. It's kind of fluffy. It reminds you of cotton, ice cream. Don't taste the yellow stuff, though. You wouldn't like the flavor. Yeah, you ever got to shovel snow, which I hope we don't have to shovel any snow. Well, I get me a rhythm when I'm shoveling. You ever pitch manure? Get you a rhythm. Look at every machine that's successful. Look at your automobile. It's got a rhythm. All those cylinders have a rhythm. Look at your sewing machine. They're successful. They have a rhythm. You ever milk a cow? You ever seen a milking machine? They're neat. You could put them to music. They pull milk with a rhythm. A rhythm. Get a rhythm. Get a rhythm in life. America's frantic because America does not live by schedule anymore. Get a rhythm. Young people, get a rhythm about your schoolwork. You're going to think this is one of the stupidest ideas you've ever heard. Study in study hall. Oh, I'm such a dork. But you know what? I could go to anybody that monitors study halls, and you know what you'll find? Students doing anything but study in study hall. Then they'll come, and they'll tear into a teacher because their kids' grades are too low, and it's the teacher's fault. Get a rhythm. You parents, your children are learning to use, they use Speedy Reader here. Your parents, your children are learning to use Speedy Reader. Get a rhythm with that thing. And you find out the success in the Speedy Reader has something to do with rhythm. 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 Study by habit. Routine. Custom. Here's what some students want to do. And so you students understand, when you cram, you're not going to learn as much. All you did was cram your brain full so you could pass a test. An hour after the test, you've not learned the material. Good study is repetitive study. Doing your multiplication tables over and over and over and over and over and over and over again. You remember it, parents? Remember back when we'd use flashcards and we'd do the same thing over and 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 over again. Now all we care about is if we can get a grade, pass, and be moved on. So on paper we look good, but actually in our minds we're still stupid. Why? Lack of routine in our study. Lack of routine. In school, when I was going to college, I had to get a routine in my study. I had a wife. I had four children.
I had to figure out a way to spend time with my kids while I was going to school full time. Nobody gave me any money. I didn't get any grants or scholarships or loans. I paid all my colleging for every one of my degrees. I paid cash. I earned the money. And I supported my wife and I supported my kids and put my four kids in a Christian school at the same time. And I had to figure out how was I going to get all this done. So, in between classes, I study. I go to class and study, class and study, class and study, class and study. I'd go to work at night, and at lunchtime, I'd study. I had a routine. I had a rhythm in my study. Young people, get a rhythm in your study. Those of you that go to colleges, get a rhythm in your study. Stop trying to cram it in here and cram it in there. Hey, get you a rhythm. Find the spot where it goes, and every day at that time, be there for the rhythm. Hey, ladies, let me help you with your housework. Get a rhythm. Get a rhythm. If you get a rhythm, you say, maybe you'll have a day where you do laundry. Fine, pick a day and then do it that day. Maybe you need to do a load of laundry every morning at the beginning of the day. But get you a rhythm. Get a rhythm. Get a rhythm. Get a rhythm in the laundry. Get a rhythm with those dishes. You're better off deciding when I'll do dishes and doing dishes at that time. And let your daughters learn to do dishes. Help them to establish a rhythm. Clean the house. How? Rhythm. Cooking. Get you a rhythm with your cooking. You got to get a rhythm with shopping for your cooking. We're scatterbrained. We're hoping everything will fall together while everything is falling apart. Men, home repairs. Get a little rhythm about that thing. You say, well, everything that she wants done, I'd have to take 20 hours. Well, just divide that thing up and give her 30 minutes every Saturday. Women, get a rhythm for mowing your yard. Come on, men, stick with me here. Get a rhythm. Get a rhythm. Some of you need to get a rhythm with your church duties. I'll tell you why some of you are not near as successful as what you could be because you don't have a rhythm with your church duties. Those of you that work on bus routes, your rhythm ought to be Sunday morning captain's meeting. I'm sorry, Saturday morning captain's meeting, workers' meeting. Then we go out and visitation and soul winning. I've got to have a time when I'm going to organize my pickups. Then there's Sunday morning, the pickups, and then the take home. But get a rhythm with that. Get a rhythm. Get a rhythm that you'll succeed. People with a rhythm get more done in life. Those of you that have all your special music practices, get a rhythm. Just get a rhythm. Choir, get a rhythm. Get you a rhythm. You'll be all right. You get a rhythm. Sunday school teachers, what's your rhythm? What's your rhythm? Those of you that have janitorial duties, what's your rhythm? Lawn care, the meetings of the church, nursery workers, and nursery workers help us. Shouldn't be that people are showing up to go into the nurseries and there's not anybody there. Get your rhythm. Hey, did you know your lack of rhythm is throwing other people off a rhythm? Greeters, get a rhythm. I'll be there. I'll be there when I'm supposed to be there. Ushers, get a rhythm. Just get that rhythm. Some of you need to get a rhythm with your mate and dating in life. I really believe this. I think everybody's married ought to go out. Probably you ought to go out every week, but at least once every couple of weeks you go out without the kids and you have a date on rhythm. She knows when it is. You know when it is. You're not going to let anything else get in the road of it. You're going out. Your marriage would be happier that way. I'm talking about not taking the kids. Some of you need to learn to go out by yourself. Spend time with your husband and with your wife on rhythm. Get you a rhythm. You see, life will eat up all that time if you don't get a rhythm in your dating. Just get you a rhythm. Some of you need to get a rhythm with some of your family meals. I think families ought to eat together. And you may not be able to have every meal together, but I really do believe that you ought to be having at least a meal a day together. Whether it's breakfast or lunch or supper, you need that rhythm. Again, America was strong when America had rhythm. When we had rhythm. I'll throw this in here because right now I don't know of anybody that has this situation, so I'm going to throw it in here. And if you have this situation, I don't know it. But I think it's very unwise for a husband and wife, if the wife has to work, that she work different shifts than her husband. Talk about something that'll tear you to shreds. Why? Say, why is that so hard on us? No rhythm. You can't get a rhythm. There is no time to be able to have a rhythm. You can't be together. Let me go on. Let me say this and I'm done. Lack of rhythm creates a lot of undesirable results. Lack of rhythm causes unfinished tasks in your life. The reason why some of you have so many unfinished tasks is because you do not work by rhythm. You do not live by rhythm. You're never getting anything really done. No rhythm in your life. Get that rhythm in your life. And unfinished tasks will put you in the nut house. When you find yourself going, probably ought to finish up a couple things to get the burden off your back. Hey, listen, lack of rhythm causes lateness. A lack of being prompt. And America needs to be on time again. Lack of rhythm causes frustration about small things. People with a lack of rhythm, they just blow up at the smallest of things. Why? They're so frustrated because there's no rhythm in their life. They say, I don't have time for another little thing. You'd be shocked how much time you have. You'd be shocked how much time you waste. People often say to me, I wouldn't want to live the way you live. I mean, you're just busy all the time. You go from appointment to appointment to appointment to appointment to appointment, 7 days a week, just constantly like that. Do I seem to be someone that's falling apart? Come on. I just do what I'm supposed to do when I'm supposed to do it. That's all. I like it. I feel very secure with it. What is it? Rhythm. Rhythm. A lack of rhythm produces unfinished tasks. It produces lateness. It produces frustration about little things. A lack of rhythm causes you to feel like you're running from emergency to emergency constantly. Oh, I forgot. I didn't get that done. Oh, I forgot. I didn't get this done. Oh, no. How much more can I take? Oh. Rhythm says, I'm going to go over here. But now, it's time to go over here and fix this. Oh, it's time to fix this. Now, it's time to fix this. Everybody okay? It's really quiet in here. Yeah, I'm not preaching on whores and liquor, okay? This is just life, okay? Lack of rhythm produces depression. Great big gaps of nothing in life create depression. You keep your mind busy, you're less apt to get depressed. Mrs. Moore, keep yourself busy now. You'll put your daddy in a grave here in a few days, but let me tell you what you do. Soon after, get right back to work. Get your rhythm back. Get your rhythm back. Get that rhythm. Rhythm. You won't work your way out of all depression, but working in rhythm can hinder a lot of depression. You'll have a lack of productivity in your life if you don't have a rhythm. I'll have pastors call me that have churches of 100, 150 people just as frantic as they can be, saying, I just don't know how I'm going to get it all done, Brother Owens. Can you help me? Well, since I handle my 1,000, I'll see if I can figure out a way to help you with your 150. What is usually the case? No rhythm in their ministry. No rhythm. Lack of productivity. Boredom is a lack of rhythm. No advancement in life. Lack of rhythm. Family chaos. Lack of rhythm. Here's what happens. If you don't get the family in a rhythm together, you got dad running one way, you got mom running another, you got your daughter running another, you got your kids running another, and everybody's just going, shh. There's no rhythm. So there's a lot of anger, shortness. Tension, because you're unpredictable, is a lack of rhythm. I wonder how many times there's fusses in marriage. It's just because he was going one way and she was going another, and they thought the other knew, but they didn't. See, we endure our lives, not enjoy them, because we live together, but we're not truly together. You know what every husband and wife need? They need to be doing this. Row, row, row your boat gently down the stream together. We got to get in the rhythm. Get the rhythm. We've got to get the rhythm. There's some of you, you're retired. Let me tell you why you can't get along. You can't get along with people. You have no productive rhythm in your life. You got so much, nothing, time on your hands. All you do is think negative. And the devil's played with your brain, got you as a negative person. All you do is sit around and talk about bad. If you got to a good rhythm of good, see, we're talking about good habit. Be careful now. The Bible says this. He came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up as his custom was. Jesus had rhythm. You can be sure he showed up everywhere he's supposed to show up exactly on time and did exactly what he was supposed to do when it was supposed to be done. That was the result of his perfection. Every head bowed, every eye closed.